There's a reason why in Florida, professional wrestling was deemed an essential business. Because it kicks ass. This is Heel Turns and Headlocks. And this is Bear DiGiulio and Brian LePre.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Heel Turns and Headlocks podcast. As the cool gentleman who did our intro told you, I am Brian LePre, and with me, as always, is John Moxley. Just kidding, Bear DiGiulio. Even better.
Oh, don't be so fucking nice. That's not true.
On the topic of John Moxley's parent company, or American parent company, we are discussing AEW today. And most notably, we are taking a look at someone like Moxley, who is the world champion, or Cody, who is the TNT champion, or even Kenny Omega, who's the world tag team champion, one half of, obviously, or Brian Cage, the FTW, not really a championship champion.
Although, on the roster page, he's a champion, so.
There you go. Taz, creating titles for 25 plus years. But we're here because we want to look at those guys and say, who could one day join them in the tier of the elite, or even potentially succeed them and one day replace them, I guess, or however you want to phrase it. The point is, we want to look at the future of the company that represents the future of professional wrestling. Now, some of these wrestlers have already established themselves as main event caliber wrestlers, or at least wrestlers who win far more than they lose. Some wrestlers maybe struggling to get there, but already fan favorites. I don't think we're really pulling any names out of left field here, but we just wanted to, I guess, pay homage in some kind of way and, you know, show some respect for the young men. And one day we will do a women's episode as well. Ideally, once AEW has added more women to its roster, but we'll do it anyways because they have a great crop of talent. But the future of AEW, we believe, is represented by five wrestlers. And, well, we'll start with the youngest one, Bear, the man they call Jungle Jack.
Jim Ross calls him Jungle Jack Perry, but the roster page will tell you he's Jungle Boy. The reason we start with Jungle Boy is because he's only 23 years old, which is fucking young. Bray and I are no spring chickens, but if you've watched Jungle Boy and you watch what he's done, and you know, yes, he's smaller in stature at 5'10 and 150 pounds. At least that's what Wikipedia says. He was trained by Joey Janela and Santino Marella, which is really cool. He started in 2015, so he's already got 5 years under his belt. And obviously, he is the son of the late Luke Perry, which, you know, I guess can kind of help him with his future, right? I mean, it got him this far. No, he got here by himself. So he's been signed with AEW since AEW became a brand, right?
Yeah.
And already in his short career, he's done some things. You know, the Wrestling Observer newsletter named him the Rookie of the Year in 2019. He won a West Coast Cruiser Cup at Underground Empire Wrestling. He's done some things already.
Yeah.
Currently a part of the tag team Jurassic Express with Luchasaurus, who we would have added to this list. He's a little older. Plus, I mean, in kayfabe, I think he's actually a dinosaur, right?
Yeah, so he is thousands of years old.
He cannot be on this list.
No, he is not an up-and-comer.
No, he is an old and going? I don't know, whatever. he's damn near extinct, for the love of God.
There you go.
I know, Brian, you remember that awesome match that Jungle Boy had with Chris Jericho? And that already kind of established Jungle Boy as something, as you know, part of the future of All Elite Wrestling, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was exactly where I was going to go. One of the great things about Jericho's presence in AEW so far is that he's almost been like a measuring stick, where it's like, you don't have to win, but if you can actually hold your own with really the most established wrestler on the roster. You know, you can debate who the best is, but the reality is Chris Jericho has had easily the best career of anyone on the AEW roster. Obviously had one of the greatest careers ever, period. You could put him in WWE and probably say the same thing about that roster. He's that damn good, that damn accomplished. We could run through all the accolades, but you all know. All you have to know is that he beat Stone Cold and The Rock on the same night with a broken... No, that's another guy. But...
Not the broken freaking neck.
Not the broken freaking neck. But the rest is true. And Chris Jericho, you know, that match that he and Jungle Boy had really solidified Jungle Boy, to me at least, as one of the future pillars of AEW, if not professional wrestling as a whole. You know, very athletic, very impressive in that regard, yes. But he also is a guy who's very easy to root for. You know, he's the son of a beloved actor who sadly lost his life last year only. And beyond that, you know, he's got a great gimmick. You know, he and Luchasaurus as Jungle Express, as Jurassic Express, are one of the more entertaining tag teams in AEW, right? You know, and I actually appreciate the fact that Jim Ross calls him Jungle Boy Jack Perry or Jungle Jack, because I think it kind of shows an investment on the part of the most experienced person in that company, in JR, at least has to be up there, right? You know, he's been around and seen everything there is to see over the past 30 years in wrestling, if not a little bit longer, you know. And I love what JR said about Jungle Boy when he was asked about why he does that. And he was like, well, like, one day he's not going to be Jungle Boy. He's like, what is he going to be? Jungle Man? Maybe, you know, not saying that can't work, but he's like Jungle Boy Jack Perry. He should identify with who he is. And I think that, you know, a lot of AEW fans hated it at first, but I think between the Chris Jericho match and JR calling him Jungle Boy Jack Perry, I think that actually set the stage, for Jungle Boy to be viewed as someone who can be a genuine, quote-unquote, franchise player. And obviously, we've seen that reputation taken to new heights with his matches recently, singles and tag, against MJF, where they just tore it up and arguably stole the show on some pretty stacked cards. So yeah, Jungle Boy is our number one, and I guess the smooth transition is into the number two spot, which is someone I just mentioned, and that's, why is he so young, MJF.
If MJF ever listens to this, he won't, because, you know, he doesn't really do that, right?
Yeah.
At least that's what he says, you know. He's so MJF Maxwell Jacob Friedman is only 24 years of age.
Yeah.
Only 24. He's 6 foot tall. He's 216 pounds. He was trained with under Pat Buck and Curt Hawkins at the Creative Pro Wrestling School in New York. Look, this was by far, I believe, one of AEW's best signings to date, because MJF could have gone anywhere and had a stellar career, right?
Yeah.
He did have an awesome career already in ML and Major League Wrestling with the Dynasty.
Yeah.
They were a very good team together. Again, was he on WWE's radar? Probably, I'm assuming, right? Especially with the ties with Curt Hawkins, who was actually just recently released from WWE. But look, MJF could have been a guy that would have benefited going, you know, anywhere. Impact would have benefited, you know, any major company. It's, you know, and he will tell you himself, right? Tony Khan made him an offer that he couldn't refuse. Again, is that kayfabe? Is it not? Whatever the case may be, MJF is a focal point of AEW. And, you know, we talked about the rankings last week. MJF is at number one at 7-0 in singles competition. You know, and again, he's accomplished so much in such a short amount of time. He only debuted, again, just like Jungle Boy Jack Perry, he debuted in 2015. So he's only been professionally wrestling for 5 years. And for MJF to already be a focal point on a show on TNT, it's just, you know, it's where he should be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, MJF is built for the WWE. We all know that. He has a great look. He's great on the mic. He's somebody that Vince McMahon would have sunk his teeth into and really loved to use as a prominent heel. But I think that is almost why he's so good in AEW. You know, if you guys remember back to the early Ring of Honor days, one of the things that was great was that you could create a heel in Ring of Honor just by having them be the sports entertainer in a professional wrestler's world. I think that's why Adam Cole stood out. I think that's why Mike Bennett stood out. You know, you could even go further back than that, obviously. But I think that's almost where MJF fits into the AEW equation. You know, you have a lot of great wrestlers. And then Cody kind of seemed to be the sports entertainer, right? And then MJF beat him. That was kind of just like, okay, well, who is, you know? Who is the top sports entertainer in AEW? Well, obviously, Cody has the TNT title, but number one in the rankings is MJF. And that makes him an easy selection because, look, man, he can talk, he can wrestle, he's had some great matches with multiple people. Obviously, his feud with Cody was great and brutal. Like, the 10 lashes were one of the more difficult to stomach, you know, segments of the past 5 years. You know, he had that great match with Hangman Page. He was really one of the people who introduced The Butcher and The Blade, which I appreciate because I love those guys.
Yep.
But, you know, he and Wardlow are just perfect together right now, however long they last. Wink, wink. But yeah, I mean, MJF has already accomplished so much in his career. You know, in AAW, he's won the Heritage Championship. You know, in CZW, one of the more reputable or at least respected independent wrestling promotions in the world, he's a 3-time champion there, including a world heavyweight champion. He's already done a lot of things. It's hard to really look at this as anything other than a sign that he's headed to the moon, right? And every time it seems like there's a hurdle in his path, he's leaping over it. I mean, he's undefeated in singles action this year. And as he told Wardlow, since Wardlow got pinned, what was it, at Revolution? Oh, I'm sorry, am I wrong? Fighter Fest Night 1,
yeah.
I'm all over the place, forgive me. At Fighter Fest Night 1, he didn't get pinned. He's still technically undefeated, right? Is that how that works? Who knows?
But it is MJF.
It is MJF. But at 24 years old, you're talking about a guy who, in any company in the world, he would have been the future. And he just so happens to be in AEW, along with fellow Creator Pro Wrestling Academy graduate Chris Statlander. But, you know, both of them represent the future, so maybe we should all go train with Curt Hawkins.
It's not a bad idea. No, they're so far they're churning out quite some successful people, right?
Absolutely. And well, I guess the smooth transition here is yet another wrestler who debuted in 2015.
God bless.
What a year. turning point, I guess.
Yeah.
That is someone who's a little older, Jungle Boy Jack Perry, 23 years old. MJF, 24 years old. Number three on our list, at 27 years old, Darby Allin, who, in addition to being married to the amazing Priscilla Kelly, is a freaking maniac in the ring.
And outside of the ring. I know you've seen those video packages with, I mean, he had that thing with Tony Hawk a couple of weeks ago, which was really cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Darby Allin's got, I mean, everybody already knows it, right? He's another one of those guys that just, super glad that AEW picked him up when they did. Although I think in interviews he mentioned that he was not interested in going to WWE because of how overly scripted he believes that they can be. But look, he may have come up short in the TNT Championship tournament and thus not winning the title. Obviously, Cody is still the champion. He's still got a really bright future ahead of him, and you know, he's got that, everybody already makes the comparison, but Darby Allin's got that Jeff Hardy vibe to him. Yeah. Be it the face paint or what have you, but maybe it's because Darby Allin's another guy that you can look at as a charismatic enigma, right? Willing to jump off shit. He's willing to do whatever it takes to entertain the masses, right? And that's why we have him on our list. He's only 5 years into the wrestling business. He doesn't have that much in the accomplishments yet. Northeast Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. He was ranked number 394 in the top 500 singles wrestlers in the PWI 500. I'm surprised he was that low.
Yeah, that seems very low.
But look, as of right now, he's out with an injury. But if you guys have been watching his vignettes and his videos on Twitter and Instagram. He's coming back with a vengeance, and he's already, he's already made mention that he's coming after Brian Cage.
Yeah.
You know, Darby got injured in that casino ladder match at Double or Nothing, and, you know, he puts all the blame on Brian Cage. So I think that's going to be a really cool feud when Darby is medically cleared to compete. That's going to be quite a weird battle, like, aesthetically, yeah. Right? From a just watching it on TV between Darby Allin, who's 180 pounds against 260 pound jacked up to the fucking gills Brian Cage. Excuse me. Jacked up to the gills FTW champion Brian Cage, which
We'll make peace with it, don't worry. But look, Darby Allin is already, you know, while he doesn't have many titles under his belt necessarily, he's already had some big wins in AEW. He beat Shima for his first win, and Shima's obviously a Dragon Gate legend. He beat Jimmy Havoc. You know, we've seen him go against a lot of significant names. He had that great match with Jon Moxley. He had a great match with Cody.
Yeah.
Whenever you put him in the ring, another great match with Pac. You know, you put him in the ring with big names, and he seems to thrive. You know, he beat Sammy Guevara. You know, he beat Kip Sabian. He has wins. It's not like he's struggling to get them. It's just, you know, he seems to beat everybody who is, like, next up, right? You know, yeah. So he seems to be the top of the next up wrestlers. But he just hasn't been able to break through. You know, he's lost to Cody twice now, one of which not necessarily for the TNT title, but in the tournament. You know, so he's close. You know, he's very, very dangerously close to breaking through and really just becoming that next level talent. And I think that the wrestler who you compared him to, Jeff Hardy, is perfect because they're both guys who kind of throw caution to the wind, and, you know, whatever they do to themselves is almost irrelevant to them as long as it leads to victory. And you can debate whatever you want about, you know, how wise that is, right? But the reality is with Darby Allin, this is a guy who has stepped up to the plate over and over again. I'm remiss to not mention the fact that he actually challenged for the AEW World title and had a great match against Chris Jericho with his damn hands tied behind his back. The guy has just been... it's not even like he's a star in the making. It's just like, when is he going to win that big match? Because he's there.
It's going to happen. And I think, you know, I don't think he's another one of those guys where it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah. Yep. I agree completely.
I think we can transition that, right? Easily.
Yeah. And we could transition that for the if or the when. And, well, why don't we throw a little curveball, you know, and say that a guy who is already, basically a main eventer, right? You know, been pretty much one of the top stars in AEW since the moment he debuted. And a lot of people had their reservations and they were unsure about if he should be, you know, he was in Ring of Honor for so long. He barely really ever did anything there. Right. The only time he did anything was winning the 6-man titles with the Young Bucks. And it's not hard to win with the Young Bucks.
Right.
And a year and a half later, Hangman Page, he might not even be the next star. He might even be the current top star in AEW. And I'm not talking about popularity. I just mean that guy is capable of so many great things. And Hangman Adam Page, I mean, he and Kenny Omega going from never full-time teaming together to dominating the best tag team division in the world, having some of the best tag team matches you've ever seen, especially at Revolution against the Young Bucks, where Hangman happens to be the one who picked up the final pin when Kenny Omega couldn't. Now, will he and Kenny's tag team last? That's certainly a fair question. We've seen quite a few hints that Hangman's not too happy with his tag team partner. But the reality is, you know, we're talking about a guy who has the look. He's incredibly athletic. One of the hardest hitting wrestlers on the roster. He's wrestled all around the world, including New Japan Pro Wrestling. Hangman, he just he has it all, right? And whatever reservations that people had before, they have to be gone.
They have to be. And plus, like, I know you watch Being the Elite, but in an episode of Being the Elite, before AEW even came about, they mentioned, you know, Hangman Adam Page is a guy you build a promotion around.
Yeah.
So, again, just like we mentioned about Darby Allin, it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. Page did have a match for the AEW championship. It was actually the match to crown the first champion. Unfortunately, he lost to Chris Jericho, at All Out.
Yeah.
So Page is he's been up there, right? And again, he and Kenny, to their credit, they've been just dominating the tag team division. And eventually it's we mentioned this in the last episode. We believe that it's going to lead to a singles match between two guys that we see as the future of AEW.
Yeah.
Who actually, you know, Kenny should be the present because he's not, I'm not saying he's up there in age, but he's older than the men that we're talking about here in this podcast.
Right.
And again, we mentioned this also in the last episode. Kenny Omega is one of, if not the greatest wrestler in the world right now, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not saying like stop wasting your time in the tag team division, because that tag team division, as Brian mentioned, is one of the better ones in the world, the best tag team division in the world. We should start looking at getting Kenny Omega up there, but Adam Hangman Page, again, not a matter of if, a matter of when.
Absolutely.
It's going to be one of those things where, you know, he's a homegrown, I guess you could say he's a homegrown talent for AEW, right?
Yeah.
Again, he was relevant in Ring of Honor, but he never reached the top. In New Japan, he never really reached the top. You know, he's got a couple, I guess you could say belts under his belt, but he hasn't done enough yet. That's going to change, obviously, because the guy's too talented. He actually came out on a damn horse at one point. I believe he named the horse Hunter Horse Helmsley, if I'm correct. Which was pretty cool, you know. I mean, that doesn't seem like a shot at a man with three H's in, you know. But whatever the case may be, you know, that slingshot lariat is not something I expected out of a guy that stands at what, like, he's 6 foot, 219 pounds, like, and he's only been doing this, you know, since 2008.
Yeah.
He's only been wrestling 12 years, which not that long of a time.
No.
So again, he turns 29 this month. He's still under 30. Like, this guy has so many years left in wrestling.
Absolutely. And look, he's one of those guys where I completely agree with everything that you just said, especially the belief that you build a company around him, because you do. He's a main event talent. And I think, you know, however you feel about Kenny and Hangman dominating the tag team division, they've been incredible together. Like, that's just plain and simple. And I know that they've been in there with some great tag teams. That helps, sure.
Yep.
But they've been incredible. The matches have been off the charts. And if you're telling me that Hangman Page can have some great singles matches, which he's already had in AEW, and have some great tag team matches, plus he can talk, he's over as hell with the crowd. I know there isn't one right now, but that's okay.
He's still over with whatever crowd is there.
Exactly. He's over with Pineapple Pete, and that's all that really matters. So, look, Hangman Page, we're doing this by age. You know, we're trying to do this a little chronologically. So he's number 4, but realistically, you could argue between him and MJF for the number 1 spot on this. Or the next guy on our list, who somehow is still only 29 years old, and that is Rey Fénix. How is this guy this good?
Before we got on the podcast, I didn't know Rey Fénix was that young. And that gives me to think, because you guys, I mean, look, even if you haven't watched AEW up until this point, let's say you started at Fyter Fest Night 2, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were watching that insane match that he was a part of just this past week. This man is just incredible. And this is another guy that, like, look, he could have easily usurped the throne of Rey Mysterio's, right?
Yeah.
If you want to talk about a guy that can move the way he does, like, go on YouTube and search up Rey Fénix if you're not familiar with his work. He's incredible. And he's been wrestling a lot, you know, not a lot longer than the other guys. He debuted in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible. And I was telling Brian actually over text, maybe it was yesterday. I told him, like, I was really hoping the Lucha Bros would be the first tag team champions in AEW. Obviously, I'm not mad at SCU winning it because Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, you know, Scorpio Sky, they've been around the block.
Yeah, they deserve it.
Yeah, of course. But you look at Rey Fénix's accomplishments here, and he's just all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to read them all, but he's, you know, again, this is a guy you can build a brand around. Just like we mentioned about Adam Page, like, kids are going to buy this mask. Kids are going to watch what he does in the ring and just marvel at the way he moves. And I know, you know, again, Brian and I talked about this yesterday, that I don't even know what to call that spot that he and Nick Jackson.
Heaven.
Yes. I don't like they were on the second rope. And just before you know it, they're on the third rope together, and
if you haven't seen it, go watch it. Not just that spot, the whole match. They're ridiculous. Like, ridiculous. And look, Rey Fénix, I mean, you know, obviously AAA is, I guess, his home promotion based on the amount of time that he's spent there. He's pretty much done everything there is to do. He's won the AAA Mega Championship, which is the World Heavyweight Champion there. He's won the Fusion Champion. He's a two-time and reigning World Tag Team Champion there, as many AEW fans know from the Escalera of Death match. He and his brother, Pentagon Jr., who could have made the list, but he's 35, so we wanted to focus a little on, you know, 30 and under for this one. But, you know, you look at it across the board, it's like an MLW, Rey Fénix won tag gold. In PWG, Rey Fénix won tag gold. In Impact, Rey Fénix won tag gold.
Mm-hmm.
According to Wrestling Observer Newsletter, they were the 2019 Tag Team of the Year, and Rey Fénix was even the Mexico MVP. He's done incredible things. He's already listed by Pro Wrestling Illustrated as one of the 25 best wrestlers in the world, and he just recently really, you know, I would say only recently surfaced on the mainstream. I think that's fair to say. You know, he's been doing his thing for a while, but it was recent that mainstream wrestling promotions realize how good he is. If you've only seen him in a tag team environment and you want to watch more singles, or you want to see how in depth he can go with his character, please, for the love of God, go watch Lucha Underground. Ricochet was a star, or excuse me, Prince Puma. That wasn't Ricochet. That was just a guy with the same tattoos and body.
Get it right.
Prince Puma and, you know, Johnny, everything, you know, Brian Cage, all these guys stole the show. Jeff Cobb as Matanza. You know, it was an incredible series, very cinematic. But one of the things that made it stand out was how damn good the wrestling was. And Fénix was just off the charts incredible. Like, incredible. Some of the most brutal matches you'll ever see, somehow infused with Lucha Libre, where he's doing these incredible high-flying moves and tactics. Rey Fénix, to me, he has everything. And, you know, Rey Mysterio is a high bar to set, of course, but watch Rey Fénix extensively, and you're going to just realize he doesn't really have a hole in his game. He can do it all, and I don't think I've ever seen anyone use the ropes the way he uses them, except for, well, we're going to cheat and say we're going to have a number six on this list. And the only exception I would use to that is the guy that he just did use the ropes with, and that's Nick Jackson. I know, okay? I know the Young Bucks are probably the most popular tag team in the world, probably the most accomplished tag team in the world, at least of their generation. You know, they've done everything, right? You know, New Japan, I mean, Ring of Honor, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They've done everything. Somehow, it's easy to forget, Nick Jackson is only 30 years old.
Yep.
And quite frankly, I'm going to put this on the record and say this now. I include everybody. And if you disagree with me, hit us up on social media. let us know. Send us a message. Google call us. Whatever you want to do and disagree. I think Nick Jackson is the smoothest wrestler in the world. And I felt this way for many years. I think that what he does in the ring is so damn smooth, it is beyond comprehension. And obviously, he and his brother Matt are greatly responsible for the growth of independent wrestling. Obviously, not individually, but they played a huge part in the growth of independent wrestling, not only with their work in Ring of Honor, where they are 3-time World Tag Team Champions and 2-time Six-Man Tag Team Champions, not only going over to New Japan and representing independent wrestling there, where they are 1-time IWGP Tag Team Champions and 7-time IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions, plus 3 6-man Tag Team Championship reigns. Holy crap, their resume is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But in PWG, they were originals of that incredible company that really has become the go-to independent wrestling company for a lot of people. And look, I don't necessarily want the Young Bucks to ever break up. You know, I want as many Young Buck matches as I can get. Mm-hmm. But if Nick Jackson ever were to decide to go the singles route, is there any doubt whatsoever that he would be overwhelmingly successful?
No, of course not. And I think it'd be really cool if they kind of played it off like Nick Jackson wanting to prove himself in the world of professional wrestling, right? Because up until this point, we really haven't seen many singles matches of either Jackson, you know, Matt or Nick. They haven't really competed in singles. I mean, obviously, there's some other cases, but look, Nick Jackson is, you know, again, the real deal. Like, watch him work. He just like Ray Phoenix. He's so, you know, Brian mentioned, smooth.
Yep.
Put him in there with anyone, he'll tell a good story. Yep. Is he great? You know, again, we never want the Bucks to necessarily break up, but you could throw him in there with anyone, and I think it'd be awesome if one day we can just get a singles run for Nick Jackson. You know, even if he wanted to go for the TNT Championship, for example, how cool of a story would it be if he faced off with Cody?
I would pay good money to see that. I know I'm not allowed to pay good money to see that and show up in the arena, but I might sneak in with a mask and an Orange Cassidy haircut and attire.
Because, as long as you're wearing a mask.
There we go. You know, look, Nick Jackson is incredible. Matt Jackson's incredible too, by the way. We're not discounting him at all. It's just Matt Jackson is 35, whereas Nick is 30. And for the purpose of this podcast, we are going to focus, as we said, on 30 and under. And I think Nick Jackson really, you know, puts a bow on everything we were just talking about. In my opinion, these are the 6 wrestlers who represent the future of AEW in singles or tag team competition on the men's side, obviously. And that would be, for a recap, Jungle Boy, MJF, Darby Allin, Hangman Page, Ray Phoenix, and Nick Jackson. If you guys disagree, let us know. If you guys want to add some names, let us know. We always want to hear from you. Maybe we might even have you on the show.
We will have you on. You know, if you want to be on the show and you want to talk about any topic at all, hit us up. We're easy to find on all the forms of social media. The nice guy that did the intro will tell you every social media outlet we have on the outro.
And on that note, everybody, thank you all for listening. We have been overwhelmed by how supportive everybody has been, social media and everywhere else. And as always, you know, we love you guys, man. We love you.
Watch professional wrestling, wear your fucking mask, and that's about it, right?
That's about it. Oh, and I love professional wrestling. I think that's the last one.
Boom.
And here comes the outro.
You've been listening to Heel Turns and Headlocks with Bear DiGiulio and Brian LePre. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we'll be back soon with more. But until then, reach out on Facebook at Heel Turns and Headlocks, on Twitter at Heel_Turns_Pod, and on Instagram at Heel Turns and Headlocks. We'll see you next time.